Looking at sins of infirmity tonight, Psalm 103, and we'll look at verse 10, and then drop down to verse 14 also. So verse 10, it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Verse 14, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we so thankful that we could be here tonight in your house. And Father, we're thankful for your word, that we have it, that we can study it, we can read it, we can meditate upon it, we can sit under the preaching and teaching of it, Father. And we're just so thankful that we have it, that we can know it and apply it to our lives. And so we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight as we look into your word again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have, it's good that he hasn't dealt with us after our sins, right? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He knows us. He knows that we are dust, right? He knows who we are. Thank God he knows who we are, right? And he takes care of us. I've noticed that no matter what happens in our lives, he still takes care of us. No matter, even when we sin, God still takes care of us. He always provides our needs. And, you know, some of us would say, "Nope, you sinned. I don't care. Until you get right, I'm not taking care of you." But God doesn't do that. And then Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, there's some days when you just go to pray and you just don't know what to say, right? You just, some days you pray and your words get all tangled up and all, right? But thank God for the Holy Spirit that helps us. Helps us in those times and all. We don't always know what we ought to pray for, but he does, and he makes intercession for us. And then Romans 14 and verse 23. Romans 14:23 says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, nor whatsoever is not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Bible's very clear. We're supposed to live by faith. We want to live by sight. Bible's very clear. We're not going to live by sight. We live by faith. And faith in the Son of God. But we need to understand that we're not always going to know everything. We're not going to always see everything. But God does. You know, what's really interesting is God already knows how this day ends. We don't. We have no idea. He already knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen next year. He already knows. But we don't. Some people say, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew exactly when I was going to die. I wish I knew exactly when this was going to happen or that was going to happen." No, you don't. Can you imagine how panicked and fearful you'd be if you knew exactly what day and what moment you were going to die? I think if we knew that, we might live a little differently. We might do things differently in our life. We might be more concerned about the lost. Just saying we might. Not saying we will. I'm just saying we might if we knew exactly when it was going to be. But how many people would say, "I have a bucket list, and I haven't got it fulfilled yet. So now I know my time is short, so instead of being about my Father's business, I'm going to check off my bucket list," right? I want to get all these things done before I go. It's amazing how many people you tell them that they're dying and they all of a sudden they've got to take that world cruise that they've never taken. Or it's amazing what people will do. How do doctors know? You know, can you imagine go spend every penny that you have because you're dying on a certain day and time and all? And then you live. That would be kind of foolish, wouldn't it? Because how do we know? I like the fact that God's still in the miracle business and he can save us. He can get us through anything that comes along. We don't know. We have no idea. You know, I was talking to Brother Terry about their friend who found out he's got congestive heart failure. And I said, a lot of people think congestive heart failure when you hear it doesn't sound good, right? I mean, anytime you say there's a problem with the heart, it doesn't sound good, right? But I've known people with congestive heart failure that's lived like 20 years. It's not, congestive heart failure is not a death sentence. Yes, it's some things you got to look out for and you got to watch and monitor and make sure you're, but it's not like you're dying at the end of the week, you know. It's not one of those things. Now, can they? Yes. We could all go at any time, right? I've said that for years. I don't know that I'm going to live longer than anyone else. There's people that are older than I am that died today. There's people that are the same age I am that died today. And there's people that are younger than I am that died today. I don't know when my time's up. None of us do. But we have to live by faith. It's all about faith. And so are we trusting God or not? You know, people are in this day and age of COVID are so concerned about, can't do anything because I might get COVID. Okay, so you're going to waste your life by doing absolutely nothing because you're too afraid of what might happen, but how do you know it's going to? If you're living that way, you're not living by faith. And then Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We should be there for one another, right? Bible says we're supposed to be there, bear one another's burdens, right? We should be trying to help one another, and we need to do that. I've picked on Baptists a lot because that's what I am, but we tend to, instead of having compassion and trying to be there for people who are weak, we kick them while they're down. We're ready to, you know, it's like, those that are weak, let's just destroy them and get rid of them, right? No. God says we're supposed to be there for them. We that are strong should help them. Help them. And it's, by the way, in love. And then, however, we cannot use this as a cop-out to excuse our sin either. God's compassion ought never lead us to presumption. Just because God doesn't immediately wipe us out when we sin doesn't mean we should just presume that he's never going to execute judgment. Because it's going to come, you know? I've been talking to Brother Moss, texting him quite a bit lately because of everything going on down that way. And he's like, you know, their next round is a bunch of rain. Okay, you've got frozen ground. You've got sub-zero temperatures in some places there. You've got just barely above zero temperatures other places. And power's been out, all these things. Do you know that they were less than 5 hours from having a total shutdown of the entire power system in Texas? The entire state. Less than 5 hours. It's amazing. I did get a text from Brother Moss today. They had their house all checked out and all. They have no leaks. So even though it was frigid cold, all their pipes still have. And they were without. He did say, he said, I think I'd rather be without power than without water. I said, I think he's right. I think I'd rather have water than power. You can always light a candle, right? I got to thinking as I was texting him the one day, I thought, maybe I shouldn't text him because if he doesn't have any power, he's got to charge his phone somewhere. And I thought, I can take it out to the truck and charge in the truck, right? But then you can't go to the gas station and fill up with gas because those pumps use power. How are you going to pump the gas? So, yeah, it's all that stuff going on. But our correct response is in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Every time, every single time we are tempted, the Bible tells us clearly that God gives us a way of escape. Every single time. Let's be watching and praying. Watching and praying. I would say there's not enough praying going on. People say, oh, no, you can never have too much prayer. I don't care how many people are praying for me, I can never have too much prayer. Keep praying. Keep praying. And in fact, I got Brother Claude Madel. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. But he's going to come for a missions conference. He said, what messages do you want? I said, whatever God lays on your heart, because we're going to be praying that God would give you the messages we need. You be praying that God gives you the messages that we need, and God's going to give you the messages that we need. That's the way it works. I pray that God would give me messages for the church. You should be praying that God would give me messages for the church. And then God does. That's the way it works. And so I never tell someone that comes to preach for us what subjects they should preach on. God can do that. Because God knows everybody's hearts. I don't. So God knows what we need. So we need to. But we need to be watching and we need to be praying that we enter not into temptation. And indeed, our spirit is willing. But boy, our flesh is awful weak, isn't it? I mean, we battle this flesh and spirit all the time. Constant battle, constant battle, constant battle. And the one you feed is the one that wins. So we just got to understand what we're feeding. If we want the flesh to win, feed the flesh. If you want the spirit to win, feed the spirit. And then sins of carelessness. Deuteronomy 11:16 says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. We got to be careful that we're not deceived. Eve was deceived, right? The Bible tells us clearly, Eve was deceived. Adam willfully sinned. There's a difference there. We can be deceived. When we allow Satan that in our life, we can be deceived and we can follow the wrong path and we can do the wrong things, and we can do that very easily because we turn aside from God and we start doing what Satan wants. And it's interesting that people don't believe this, but it's true. We're either following our Father in heaven or we're following our father the devil, one or the other, but you're not. There's no gray area there. You're following one or the other. And if God's not in control of what's going on, then it's Satan who's in charge of it. Do you want to be following Satan? We got to be careful, and it's easy to be deceived. Why? Because Satan makes it look good, doesn't he? Satan makes sin look good, right? How about Eve? Come on, you'll be like God. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to be like God? I mean, we're supposed to want to be like Christ. We're supposed to be like Christ, right? Wouldn't it be just amazing? See how easy it is to be deceived? We can't be God. It's humanly impossible for us to be God. He's not giving up his throne. So we need to not let Satan deceive us. And definitely don't be out there worshiping other gods. Too many people are doing that already. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. We've got to be careful what we're doing. I've had the conversation with a lot of people. If you're doing something that will cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble or fall, just because it's my right, That's not right. There's nothing right about it. So we have to be careful that we don't do that. Just because we have a liberty, let's not use it as a stumbling block for somebody else. And it's interesting how many people are. There's a lot of weak Christians. A lot of weak Christians. And so they need those that are stronger in their faith to be an example for them and not say, well, I get to do it anyway because it's my right. Let's not get so lifted up in pride that just because we have a right, we use it and it becomes a stumbling block to someone who's weak. And then 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And interesting that it doesn't take much. I mean, I can stand here and probably name all kinds of preachers that were great men of God for a long time, and then that fast they fell. Why? Because they allowed the flesh. They gave into the flesh. We got to be careful because it's easy for any of us to fall. Easy. We need to be on guard. We need to be watching. We need to be praying so we don't. And then these are still sins, not merely mistakes, accidents, or slips. Just because we do them out of because we were deceived doesn't mean it's any less of a sin. Still a sin. And we need to understand that. But the correct response here is in Psalm 39:1. Psalm 39:1, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I tell you, there's some days when it's really hard not to go out and just lash them up one side and down the other, some of this wickedness that's going on in the world. But what good does that do? You know, I was talking to Brother Madel on the phone yesterday, and we were talking about door knocking and stuff and how people will go door knocking and they'll just get in the face of the person, and if they don't accept Christ right there on the front porch or whatever, they're just yelling at them and screaming at them and wanting to throttle them and all. I said, that does no good. That does no good at all. They're lashing out with their tongue, and all they're doing is creating an obstacle for the next person who comes along and tries to share Christ with that person. We got to be careful, and we do that a lot. And by the way, that's sinful. You lash into somebody just because they don't accept Christ as Savior because you want them to? That's sinful. We need to be doing what we're doing in love. And what did they say? The Bible's very clear. God didn't say, if they reject you, lash out at them. No. He said, wipe the dust off your sandals and move on to the next. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. It's not our job to save people anyway. It's our job to warn them. God does the saving. And then Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's important. The Bible's very clear. We're supposed to not just be hearers of the word, but we're supposed to be doers of the word. How do you become a doer of the word? When you apply it to your life. We're supposed to do that. Let's not let those things slip. The things of the word of God. And it's crazy, people. You can sit there and you can show people where they're wrong from the Word of God day in and day out and day in and day out, and they still refuse to accept it. Okay. We can't change them. We're not going to change them. The only one that can change them is God. And so we have to just say, you know what? We're going to take earnest heed to the things that we've heard. We're going to apply them to our lives. We're going to share them with others. And we're not going to let them slip. Because I'll tell you what, you hear something, it's easy to hear it, do nothing with it, and pretty soon it's gone. The older you get, there's a lot of things that are gone once you start trying to remember them, right? But we can let them slip. They could be gone. We don't listen to the word. We don't thirst for the word and apply it to our lives so it doesn't slip. And then we need to share it with all those that we come in contact with before it's gone. How much opportunity did you have this week? We're on Thursday, so the week's not over yet. But how much opportunity did you have this week to share the gospel with someone? Talking about the things of God. Did we use our time wisely? Did we share the things we've learned? Well, it's my job to equip the saints so that they can go out and share with other people, right? That's what I'm supposed to do, equip you so you'll be prepared. But it only works if you take heed to the word and apply it to your life. Because according to our verse, these things can slip. They can be gone. We need to be faithful and not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. Applying it to our lives. There's a lot of things. I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day that there's things in the word of God that I used to believe one thing because that's what, as I read it, that's what I got from it. But the more I study it, the more I search the scriptures, I'm like, I've got to change. It's not God's word that's wrong, it's me. Thank God he's still working on us, right? Thank God he doesn't just leave us to wallow around in the wrong stuff, right? He still works on us, and then he reveals the truth from his word. That's why it's important to study it and be in it. And then don't let those things slip, because it's easy to do. And then we get off on the wrong track. All right, we're going to move on to prayer requests.